From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul.
You can catch us on Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul.
In today's dialogue, we're in conversation with Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton on the new Birth Equity Initiative in Illinois. She's one of the only Black lieutenant governors in the United States. And after VP Kamala Harris announced a call to action, Lieutenant Governor Stratton did too.
Here's how I feel about this. In the United States of America, in the 21st century, being pregnant and giving birth should not carry such great risk. Women in our nation are dying. Before, during, and after childbirth, women in our nation are dying at a higher rate than any other developed nation in our world. And we know a primary reason why this is true: systemic inequities. And they create significant disparities in our healthcare system.
VP Kamala Harris's initiative inspired action, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the Birth Equity Initiative into law. The Birth Equity Initiative aims to expand healthcare coverage and tackle deep-rooted systemic disparities that have caused BIPOC mothers a loss of life. Joining us now is Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for joining me on Dialogue today. It started off on the Chicago Southside Birth Center. Take us through those moments where you are walking through the center, you're getting ready for this new initiative. What was the energy? What was going on through your mind?
What was at the forefront of my mind was just, you know, how you hear the stories of Illinoisans from all walks of life, and you hope that as a leader, certainly as an elected official and a policymaker, that those stories that you hear can somehow turn into something that will make a difference. And that was at the forefront of my mind. It was about a year prior to that press conference when we announced the Birth Equity Initiative work at the Southside Birthing Center that I had convened a group of women. They were all Black women. They were doulas and midwives and others, other birth workers. And they were just sharing their stories about the need, you know, some of the challenges and obstacles that they face in trying to make the work that they do more accessible. They shared very poignant stories about, you know, this sort of intersectionality of other issues like food insecurity and housing insecurity as it relates to being able to have a healthy pregnancy delivery and 1 year postpartum. And one of the things that really struck me was one of the women at the table said, you know, because I was just in awe of their wisdom and the great work that they were doing. And she said, we've never been invited to the table to share our perspective. We've never been a part of this type of conversation. And, you know, as a restorative justice practitioner for the last couple of decades, I always believe that the wisdom is in the room. I always believe that the best solutions come from communities most impacted by issues. And it just struck me how this was an opportunity where we heard from Black women, centered their voices, and a year later, there we were at Janine Valerie Logan's center, soon to be center. I mean, they were already doing work, but one that's going to expand and be the only birthing center on the south side of Chicago. But we are announcing concrete policy and legislative changes. And so I was excited, but I was just moved by just the fact that that's what I always hope to do as a policymaker and a leader, listen to the community and then effectuate real change.
Tell me more about how the Birth Equity Initiative also expands healthcare coverage. And I know you've also said it's an extension of reproductive care. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, the Birth Equity Initiative certainly is really focused on tackling racial disparities in maternal mortality, and really to do so through targeted and data-driven approaches. We know that here in the state of Illinois, Black women are 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications. It's an issue that we see all across our nation, unfortunately, and it's not tied to, you know, economic status or anything else. It is really something that we know is systemic and really relates to a healthcare system that has not been meeting the needs of so many women, including Black women. I also just, by the way, want to tie this to access for those in our rural communities as well, because I think it's important to recognize that while we talk about and should highlight and amplify the Black women's maternal mortality crisis, there are other women as well that also don't have access to adequate maternal care and, you know, living in maternal care deserts, quite frankly. But the real goal is to ensure access to reproductive health care, a full spectrum of reproductive health care for all women, regardless of their race, income, or insurance status. We had already in the state of Illinois done so much to protect reproductive care, both through the Reproductive Health Act, SHIELD laws, and other ways that we have done that. But one of the things that we had done is we were the first state in the nation to expand Medicaid coverage to 1 year postpartum. And then something else that we have done is we included abortion care under Medicaid coverage. But there was not parity with those that were covered by private insurance. And so the Birth Equity Initiative is equitable because it allows for that parity so that people with private health care insurance would not have to pay a copay. They could just get abortion care covered by insurance. And it's important because, you know, some people might say, oh, well, the copay, and I don't know exactly what the copay might be, but let's say it's $500. And for some families, that might be, okay, well, we're covered by insurance, $500 I can pay. But there's another person that would have to say, I can't cover that. And that means that they would not have equal access to care. So it does that. We also provide comprehensive support throughout the pregnancy, childbirth, and postpartum care. It allows for coverage of things like lactation consultants and doulas and midwives and other types of care that is needed for healthy pregnancies and deliveries and 1 year postpartum. So it really is just about removing some of those financial barriers that will really help improve health outcomes for mothers and their babies.
Speaking of equal access, in a different sense, some folks aren't getting their information through traditional media channels. How do you make sure that it's reaching them, reaching the people of the Black community that really need this the most? And how do you make sure that these resources are touching the different areas in Illinois that they need to be?
Well, Kennedy, that is an issue that I think just, it continues to be at the forefront of my mind because there are so many things that we are doing in the state of Illinois that can benefit all of our communities, but certainly also benefit our Black communities. You know, one of the examples that I often give that I started lifting up on my social media channels and talking about with the bully pulpit that I have is, for example, that for those who qualify, there are some who can get free mammograms and working with the Illinois Department of Public Health. And you know, I just think about that, you know, something that is required that at a certain age, you know, there's a need to get mammograms on a regular basis to get the screenings. We know that Black women, the data shows, are more likely to die from breast cancer and that it's going to be more aggressive. And you know, if there's early detection, that can really save lives. And yet, so many women did not know that that's one of the programs that we offer. And so I think that similarly with the Birth Equity Initiative, we are partnering, you know, the women that sat at that table from the very beginning have been spreading the word. There's some good work being done at Chicago Beyond, who has been a supporter of Janine's work to open the Southside Birthing Center. And I think that, you know, we have to just keep working with the organizations that are on the ground, the grassroots organizations, sharing the information, making sure that they know this is what's happening in Illinois, and quite frankly, even working with healthcare providers. Because I know that from my experience, and I'm the mom of four daughters, and I can say that, and you know, when I was having children, you know, many years ago, I never was offered, you know, doula services or any other services. It was sort of like, you're in this system. We have a very traditional way of, you know, providing healthcare, and the way that we see this birth the pregnancy, birth, and delivery process going, there was never really any sharing of information. And what somebody once told me, you know, somebody during this process when we were getting the bill passed was like, oh, it's great to have these new methodologies, these new ways of offering alternative birthing, you know, support. And it was like, these aren't new. You know, these are things that for Black and Indigenous, even like as we think African practice, Indigenous practices, you know, having someone to walk alongside of you to help you with the birthing process, this is not new. It's just not something that was incorporated into our quote unquote traditional healthcare system for many years, or it was pushed out of the traditional healthcare system. And I'm really proud that we are returning to this, but it's going to require our partnering with not just community organizations, but with the healthcare system to make sure that, you know, we make it clear that those who are coming for these services, if you're working with an OBGYN, if you're working with a hospital, that they also are saying, by the way, did you know that you can get these additional services? And honestly, it's really going to take a lot of people in community to be spreading that word.
Like you said, you're a mother of four. You know, you've worked on this birth equity initiative. You also know that there are so many beautiful and capable and qualified Black women out here to be in so many different rooms, any of the rooms that they desire or dream to be in. What is your hope for the future, whether it's regards to women in Illinois and just women in the country, Black women in this country?
Well, I think that every day I wake up thinking about how I can do my part to ensure a more equitable and prosperous future for all Illinoisans. And certainly part of that is thinking about women. And, you know, as the chair of the Council on Women and Girls, and as somebody who is leading an initiative called We Thrive, I believe that when women thrive, we all thrive. And that includes Black women, of course. You know, Governor Pritzker and I want Illinois to be a place where every Illinoisan can thrive. We ran because we wanted to uplift working families across our state. We wanted to combat the systemic inequalities that we see in so many areas of government, and to work with stakeholders in a collaborative fashion. And stakeholders means other organizations, other levels of government, but it certainly means grassroots in communities and working with the people of Illinois, who I believe bring that wisdom to the room about what needs, what solutions work best for their communities. So, you know, when I think about what that future looks like, I want people to have access to education, to opportunity, and that I want people to be able to make a livable wage and to not face discrimination. I want people to, those barriers to be removed for women so that we can be our very best selves and recognize that we not only deserve a seat at the table, but our voices should be heard and that policy should be made not just for us, but with us and by us. And to me, when we really allow and amplify the voices of women and allow them to be a part of the policymaking process, the ones that give us the solutions for the future that they want to see and that we can help create, I believe that for that half of our state and our nation, when we bring that equity and close the gender gap and all, you know, gender pay gap and all of those other gaps that we see, then we will truly be our best selves as a state and as a nation. And I'm going to keep working on that every single day.
Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton, thank you so much for joining me today in this conversation.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Kennedy.
Coming up next on Dialogue, we're continuing our conversation on maternal health care in Illinois with Dr. Oganley from OSF Healthcare on the shortage of OBGYNs in America. Stay with us on Dialogue after this short break. From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. You can catch us on Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul. On today's dialogue, we're continuing our theme of Black maternal health care. We're going to listen to a clip from earlier this year. Dr. Imani Shepherd joined the conversation talking about what maternal health care looks like in the United States and in 2024. She's an assistant professor at the Carle College of Medicine, and she's the director of medical education and social scientific research at the Medical Humanities and Health Disparities Institute.
The maternal mortality, infant mortality rate here in the United States for African-American women or women of the African diaspora is 3.9 times higher than it is anywhere else and compared to, individuals who are white or of European diaspora. And you see something equally high for Native Alaskan and Native American women. I think they're at like 2.5 times relative to the maternal mortality and infant mortality rate. And this is something that, again, is treatable if an individual actually takes a moment to acknowledge and hear, hear a mom when she's saying something doesn't feel right, or I'm bleeding and I shouldn't be bleeding, or I'm having migraines, or, any of the basic signs and symptoms of having any of these other kinds of sicknesses, associated with how hard pregnancy is on the body. So we're dying at rates that are ridiculous, to put it simply. And so there's so many people and so many programs that know these numbers, but we're not doing anything about it. We've known for 10 years that these are the numbers, and they're just getting worse.
Today, we're speaking with Delly Oganley. He's an obstetrician, gynecologist, and urogynecologist at OSF Healthcare. I first asked Dr. Oganley if he could break down the shortage of OBGYNs.
Yeah, so, and there is a gap in provider care in OBGYN, but it's much more acute in central Illinois and in many other parts of the state or many other parts of the country that is not in big metropolitan areas. I would say we've been noticing that when I came to Bloomington about 20 years ago, we probably have close to double the number of OBGYN providers that we have now. And as some of the hospitals in central Illinois and surrounding areas have closed their labor and deliveries, also that has also led to shrinking in providers of maternity care in some of the small towns around the state.
According to data from 2022 in Illinois, 35 of the state's 102 counties are considered maternity care deserts, which means there are no obstetrical care providers in the county. And the vast majority of these counties are located in rural areas. To add to the crisis, many of the few labor and delivery units and clinics in these rural Illinois areas have closed, or they're facing physician shortages, leading to more and more people having nowhere to turn for necessary maternal health care. Dr. Oganley, what has been your experience in helping Black women deliver their babies? Do you think Black moms and dads understand that they have a birthing plan option? And do you think that these options are accessible to this community?
I feel that, unfortunately, the Black women who are pregnant and women of color in this country, unfortunately, have had very bad outcomes. And those bad outcomes are now coming to everyone's attention, but it's probably been going on for quite some time. And you may know that Black women have about a threefold increase in the risk of maternal mortality compared to white women. And also, they also have a higher rate of bad outcomes with their infants when they have their babies. So one of the things that I think has become more obvious is the playing field is not level for many Black women. One, because A, they're more likely to not have adequate coverage insurance. B, many of them may have
an increase in comorbidities. And when I say comorbidities, I mean pre-existing conditions like high blood pressure. But C, one of the main reasons that we see this happening is I don't believe that they are well listened to. You know, many Black women complain about the symptoms that if someone is really listening to them, we'll find out that they need help. But unfortunately, many times they're not really listened to when they're asking for help. And so, unfortunately, we all know the importance and unconscious bias plays a role in healthcare. And I think that's one of the main risks that we see for African-American women when they're pregnant in this country. So all those, unfortunately, lead to a perfect storm for many Black women. And that's why they have the risks that they have. So it is not without consequences when we don't listen to our patients. And that's why we have one of those outcomes in Black women.
Healthcare resources are a matter of life and death for women who are pregnant, and this is especially true for Black women. This is because Black women face the highest percent of C-sections, or cesarean section deliveries, of any other racial group, accounting for nearly 37% of all C-section deliveries in the United States. Dr. Ogunle, do you think that it's safer for Black moms to have their children at home?
I think under any circumstance, finding the right place for delivery for any patients, including Black women, has to start with having a good risk stratification for those patients. There are going to be some women that will be okay to deliver at home, should they choose to. So my background, if you may or may not know, I practiced obstetrics and gynecology in England for quite some time. And many of the patients actually deliver at home. And some of them will deliver in a freestanding birth center. Some of them will deliver in the hospital. So for very risk-appropriate patients, they would get the good care of delivering at home if they had good support staff and good providers, but it all has to be dependent on the risk to make sure that they are good candidates to deliver at home.
As a Black healthcare expert, when we're looking at the facts and talking about equity in maternal healthcare, do you think the healthcare industry can facilitate equity?
I think the industry can facilitate equity, but they need to make sure it is just not a bumper sticker. There has to be a true belief of making a change in the system. It is not going to happen overnight, we know that, but there has to be a true, genuine intent to change outcomes. So equity is both in intent and deed. If you see a patient or you see a client, and you know that you're going to give your best, irrespective of what color their skin is, you will do that. I think there are a lot of providers that don't understand what the notion of unconscious bias is. And I think it starts with trying to retrain each and every one of us of how unconscious bias actually can affect the care that we provide to our patients. I think we can get there, but there has to be a firm belief that the outcomes that we have right now are very undesirable, and we all have to work together to change it. And we have a long way to go, but we all have to do this together.
I want to take a moment to remind listeners you're currently listening to Dialogue on Illinois Soul. I'm Kennedy Vincent. We're speaking with Dr. Ogunle about the maternal health crisis in America. Black women and babies face more of a risk when entering the hospital for delivery. They're 3.9 times more likely to die than white women under the care of health professionals. Dr. Ogunle, are you open to sharing any experiences you've had in your healthcare profession or anything that you've seen in your time as a doctor?
I do feel that there are sometimes that, you know, it's not overrated just sitting and listening to the patient. and intently listening to the patient, listening to the mother, or listening to the pregnant mom. And I would say that should be of any ethnicity, of any race, because when you listen, you will not only identify their fears, but you would also be able to not look past some of the symptoms that they are telling you about. Many Black women are quick to be dismissed that what they're complaining about is an overreaction, you know. And one thing we actually know that it is not just because it's not just from those women who don't have insurance or have less means. There are many statistics that actually show that even women who are Black and college educated, all Black and actually are, you know, employed and actually are of means, they have a maternal mortality risk that is higher than the white women who don't have insurance and do not have and are not college educated. So it is not just a straightforward discussion about maybe many of these patients or many of these Black patients don't have access to care, because they do. I think one of the things that we see is, unfortunately, many Black women are not listened to when we're in a position where someone is complaining, for example, of having some cramping, some bleeding. They're quick to be dismissed, and you know, that's the part that I think unconscious bias sets in.
What would you suggest to Black mothers about choosing the care that they receive when they're expecting?
You know, there is a lot of ways to hopefully try and correct this. I like the ideas that are being put forward at this point in time. You know, many women should be able to choose the care that they want, and many women should be able to champion their own health. I do like the idea of doulas coming more into the maternity field. And I think I always say that if you have questions, make sure that they're answered to the best of your understanding. Not to the best of the understanding of your provider, but to the best of the understanding of the patient, because you as a patient have to make sure that you understand everything that is being done for you, on you, to get the best care. I think information has to end up being the most important part of anyone's care.
What are some of the efforts that you're putting forward to create new opportunities and better care for your patients?
We recently employed, added a few more providers to our practice. We recently added midwives to our practice because I feel that one of the ways in which we can extend and provide better care is to improve the opportunities that we have for providers that would listen to patients and that will listen to many of our moms. And I think there is an immense gap between what we provide right now and what we can achieve with good listenership with our moms, and most especially with our Black moms. We also want to help them get to a point of comfort with the care that they receive. One of the things, and you know, you were asking me about how any of my personal experiences, I think one of the most important things that many Black moms would say they face is that they're always rushed into having a C-section early. And there is never a discussion or a dialogue on what are your options, that they're always quick to be told that you need a C-section.
You're currently listening to Dialogue on Illinois Soul. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Right now, we're speaking with Dr. Ogunlee from OSF Healthcare. He's an obstetrician, gynecologist, and urogynecologist. We're having an ongoing dialogue about the Black maternal healthcare crisis in America, and we're expanding the conversation today to get specific about how these discrepancies impact Black women in Illinois. Stay with us. We'll be right back from this short break on Dialogue. From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Kennedy Vincent. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. You can catch us on Saturday mornings at 11 and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Dele Ogunle. He's an obstetrician, gynecologist, and urogynecologist at OSF Healthcare. Dr. Ogunle, picking up where we left off, you were telling listeners about some of your personal experiences and things you've witnessed being in the healthcare industry for so long. You were telling us that many Black moms are forced to have C-sections in the hospital. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I think one of the most important things that many Black moms would say they face is that they're always rushed into having a C-section early. And there is never a discussion or a dialogue on what are your options, that they're always quick to be told that you need a C-section. Now, as in anyone that has done this job for this long, and anyone that has been in this career for this long, C-sections increase your risk of bleeding, and there is a risk of maternal mortality with C-section that increases compared to if you had a vaginal delivery. So it is one of the ways in which I know over the years I have seen many women who are Black who are being in some way scared to having a cesarean section when just talking through what they may want and just having a dialogue with them would have saved them of having a C-section. So, and that story is the same everywhere. The many moms that would say, well, I was told that my baby was going to be big and I needed to have a C-section. Well, with a little bit of discussion, they would have probably realized that, well, they have had big babies in the past and they could have a vaginal delivery. So those are all the things that I see happen more, that many Black women are not given the chance or the option to actually have a good discussion on their care.
In your experience, do you think that BIPOC women have a lack of awareness in regards to their options, like not having to have a C-section or how to even create a birthing plan?
So I would say I think many POC women sometimes are afraid to speak up is the first thing. They're afraid to challenge the system. And they're afraid to ask questions because they may be seen to be troublemakers, okay? So some of them may feel like something is going to be taken away from me if I say, well, I want not to have a C-section, or I want to try to wait to go into labor without having an induction. So, and many decisions in the hospitals, unfortunately, are made for them rather than having a discussion with them about the best part of care. Many Black women are not seen as partners in the decision making that affects them. So that's something that can help to change the dynamics. And, you know, that training is both needed in hospitals and providers, but also with the patient.
Dr. Dele Ogunle, thank you so much for having this dialogue with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We just finished a conversation with Dr. Dele Ogunle. He's an obstetrician, gynecologist, and urogynecologist at OSF Healthcare. He joined us for a dialogue talking about the Black maternal healthcare crisis in America. We expanded the conversation and got specific about how these discrepancies impact Black women in Illinois. If you've been tuning in for our ongoing discussion on this topic, We'd love to hear from you about your birthing and pregnancy experiences. You can leave us a voicemail at 217-244-1989. Again, that's 217-244-1989. And we may include your thoughts on the next Dialogue show on the Black maternal healthcare crisis in America. Coming up next on Dialogue, the PBS hit show Finding Your Roots is helping people unlock the keys to their history and genealogy. Many people don't even know where to start, and it's a free event taking place at the Spurlock Museum on Friday, October 25th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Here's a clip from the PBS hit show Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates Jr.
You ready to meet your DNA cousin?
Yes.
Please turn the page.
What?
Come on.
That's right.
Really?
Yep.
Who? I want to know who it is.
Here is your book of life.
Oh, my goodness.
This is, it's deeply emotional.
I've seen this show before, and I've seen people in this position, and I tell you, it's really astonishing.
It's breathtaking. It's breathtaking. I mean, I've waited 60-some-odd years for this.
It's an incredible story, and it's great that it's my story.
Every Tuesday night on PBS, millions watch celebrities discover their family histories on Finding Your Roots. But you don't need Henry Louis Gates Jr. or even a DNA test to unlock your genealogy. A presentation at the U of I's Spurlock Museum can help you get started. For more, we're joined by Illinois Public Media News and Public Affairs Director Reginald Hardwick.
Thanks, Kennedy. Scrapbooking is very popular, and during the Finding Your Roots shows, the guests receive a book of life. On October 25th and 26th, you can learn how to put one together at the Spurlock Museum of World Cultures right here at the University of Illinois. I'm joined now by Monica Scott, Manager of Community Engagement and Programs. Welcome to Dialogue in Illinois Soul.
Thank you so much, Reginald. I'm really happy to be here.
What will this workshop be like?
So the workshop itself, the hope is that it brings people together. It allows people to tap into their lineage and gather all of the information that they can so that they can work through the process of creating a scrapbook that is inspired by the book of life that celebrity guests on PBS's Finding Your Roots receive.
And we want to make it clear, this particular workshop is not associated with PBS or the Finding Your Roots show. However, one of the producers of Finding Your Roots will lead the workshop.
Yes, so Mai Perkins, I've actually known her for over, it will probably be almost 30 years. We went to high school together, and we stayed in touch since then. And she has done a variety of different things, but she started with Finding Your Roots as a researcher, and now she is an associate producer. She came up with this idea to develop a workshop to teach, you know, the general public or fans of the show how they process and how they develop these Book of Life scrapbooks that are really generally keepsakes for the celebrity guests. And she and I talked a little bit about it, and she initially wanted to start this project at a museum in New York City, which is where she resides. And she couldn't work that out. And me being completely ambitious, I was like, you know what, Mai, you should do it here. You should do it here at Spurlock Museum. You should do it at the University of Illinois. We have such a rich community. And I think people would really appreciate having the opportunity to think about their genealogy, and really create a book of life for themselves. So I did talk her into coming here to facilitate the workshop for the first time. So this is the first time the workshop will be presented anywhere.
Wow, that's incredible. What should people bring if they want to participate?
Well, we've been encouraging people to, one, visit Spurlock's website, because there is a preparatory checklist that you can download. And on that list, it's basically photos of yourself, photos of your family. One of the things the Book of Life workshop, or the Book of Life itself, it focuses on one side of the family, one particular ancestor on either the paternal or maternal side of the family. And speaking with the producer, I knew that that probably would be challenging for us, especially with our tight deadline. So I've been encouraging people to bring photos of themselves, tap into any, vital records that they can find, and just start from there. Because you're not going to have everything you need. At least the average person is not going to have everything they need to develop their book of life. So just come with what you have and take home this scrapbook and build it as you can. So vital records such as death, marriage, birth certificates, census records, a lot of those are very much accessible on sites like Ancestry.com. Newspaper articles, something that, you know, sort of stands out, because I guess the thing that makes finding your roots so interesting is that they tell a story. They're able to weave together a very interesting story about the celebrity's ancestor. And the associate producer wanted to do that as well. And that's challenging because they spend so much time actually doing research. And the researchers, that's what they do. That's their job. And so for us regular people, we don't have the same type of time and sometimes resources to tap into finding these really interesting stories or digging deeply into our personal histories. But we're hopeful that people will see the workshop as an opportunity to begin and to think about how they can expand their family search.
What would you say to someone who's like, I just don't have a lot of things, or I don't know where to start? Why would they benefit from coming to this?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we thought about a lot. And I can say from personal experience how challenging it is to hit a dead end and hit the end of the road. It's our history is so much different. I've actually, and this is a sidebar, but I've when I'm speaking to people and working with people, some people have really great images of grandparents as babies and great-grandparents as children, and we don't have that. I don't have that in my family. I don't have a picture of my grandmother as a baby. We didn't have cameras, you know, because my parents are from the rural South, and they just did not grow up with that particular thing. And so if they didn't have that, then I can imagine just how challenging it is to reach back and figure out so much more of the history, especially when we get into enslavement. But in terms of individuals who have been adopted or are really just unsure about their lineage, we've been working and partnering with the archives at the Urbana Free Library, as well as the Champaign County Genealogical Society. And some of those volunteers have helped during research and workshop prep. Honestly, Champaign-Urbana is a wealth of resource. This community has so many resources. It has phenomenal libraries, both on campus and off campus. The Genealogical Society and the archives at the libraries, they are resources. They are free resources that people can reach out to and ask those questions. Ask questions about where can I start? And you would really be surprised at what they're able to provide, the type of information they're able to provide. They can give you direction and they'll, you know, help you along that way. And this is why I really wanted to bring the workshop to this community, because I knew the community had the resources necessary for this workshop to really have an impact and to thrive. And even without the associate producer of the show here, we can continue to have these conversations about our family lineage, because at the end of the day, we're so interested in that primarily because it helps us expand our personal identities. People are really interested in understanding who they are, and tapping into your family lineage is one way to help discover more about yourself.
Have you done this process yourself?
I have done it on and off for years. It's it's so time consuming. But this workshop has definitely ignited a little bit more passion, and I intend to spend more time working on it and a little bit more, you know, dedication toward it. Also because my parents are aging, and I want to make sure that all of their stories, everything that they know, I can have that written down somewhere, and then I can continue to grow on that and expand it, not just for myself, but for my nieces and my younger family, who also need to know a little bit more about who they are.
And so do people need to sign up for the workshop? And then what will they leave with?
So we do not require a sign up for the workshop. The workshop is free and it is drop-in. And what you'll leave with is a scrapbook. You'll come in. The only thing you need to bring with you are copies of photos and vital records that you've been able to gather about your family. And we provide scrapbook and all of the scrapbooking materials for free. So people will be able to leave with their own 12 by 12 scrapbook that hopefully they will continue to build on and continue to grow.
Thank you, Monica Scott, Manager of Community Engagement and Programs at Spurlock Museum of World Cultures. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
A Visual Journey of Family Book of Life Scrapbook Making Workshop takes place Friday, October 25th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday, October 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the University of Illinois Spurlock Museum of World Cultures. It's a free program. Go to spurlock.illinois.edu for more information. Kennedy, back to you.
Thank you, Reginald.
You can find the Dialogue podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And you can give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Illinois Soul. This episode of Dialogue was produced by Zainab Qureshi, Troy McDonald, and myself, Kennedy Vincent. Our news and public affairs director is Reginald Hardwick, and production assistance by Steve Mork. Dialogue is a part of Illinois Soul and Illinois Public Media. Join us for our next dialogue every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. and Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on Illinois Soul FM 101.1 and WILL AM 580 Wednesdays at 8 p.m.